This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks, Winnie, for taking the time to come on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Pat, for having me.
Winnie, let's start off. Tell our listeners and our viewers a bit about yourself and your company.
Sure. My name is Winnie, and I founded a business organization called Postnatal Kindness. We all know that giving birth is already some type of challenge for mothers, but the postpartum season can be really challenging, especially for mothers who are doing it alone. I myself became a mom 2 years ago to twins, and I know firsthand how it can be really hard to juggle, making sure the baby is well fed and alive while also recovering from sometimes painful childbirth. So after that, I decided to find a solution to help mom during their 12-month postpartum, which is the most critical. So I founded the company Postnatal Kindness.
And what kind of things does Postnatal Kindness do?
We have a few services right now. Of course, the first service that we have is more like hands-on services, which is cleaning services, because most moms don't have necessarily the time to, clean their surroundings or the whole house, especially if they have other children as well. We have running errands for mom, for groceries and pharmacy errands or anything like that. We have meal services. So we've partnered with a few catering places where we organize meals for new moms. We have hospital rides, because sometimes going to the first few appointments can be really hard for moms. So we go with them, we wait for them, and we make sure they're home safe. And then we have in-home massage. We've partnered with a massotherapist, registered massotherapist, for in-home massages for new moms. And we have a lot of other customized services as well.
Well, what a brilliant idea. I'm the father of three children, and I'm sure my wife would have loved to have that service. So is this new to Ottawa, or is this something that where did this idea come from?
It came from me. It doesn't exist. it's really sad that, there's a shadow between when a mom, after the mom gives birth. That 12-month period, really, mothers are expected to be strong and cover everything by themselves. So there is a lack of support in that area. So I've decided to bring a solution.
And how old is the business now?
So we've started at the end of last year. So 7-8 months. And so far, the feedbacks have been amazing. I have a lot of appointments, mother getting back to me, some other, crying. They're like, I feel seen, I feel heard, finally help that is non-judgmental, So it really feels good that, what we've brought together is actually helping moms.
Isn't it interesting, Winnie, to start a business that is not only a business for business sake, but also does create such a fulfillment for the owner? That's really interesting. Were you specifically trying to start a business around that fulfillment, or was the business idea first, fulfillment came second? Or take us through that a little bit.
I think I like to say that it feels like therapy to me. It feels like, I'm doing something I would have loved to have. But in doing that, it became a business. So I don't know what started. Fulfilling my own needs. And then after that, it became a business.
Well, when you think about it, most businesses are started by entrepreneurs who see a better way, right? So you solved a problem that you wished there was a solution for you when you were going through that. So that's really interesting. How are you getting the word out? How are you letting people know about this business?
So we are online everywhere. We have a website. We have social media presence, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and all the gram. And then, of course, I try to attend a lot of mothers' gatherings and to spread the word. Ideally, we would like to partnership with hospitals as well so that when a mom is discharged, she knows that there's a service available for her.
Very, that's really smart, that hospital side of things. Establish that relationship immediately. Is that a challenge trying to get into the hospitals and trying to make them aware of this service?
It is a little bit of a challenge because we're new, first of all, and then we offer more of hands-on services. We're not nurses, we're not doctors, we're not that kind. But there's the baby needs the mom, but there's like 6,000 other things that needs to be done that I can come in and help. So that's the kind of challenges, educating people. Mothers are, especially us, I came here 22 years ago, so I'm an immigrant, a Francophone immigrant, and then we are raised to kind of do it everything by ourselves. Accepting the help is a big challenge for mothers.
And who are you targeting with this? I mean, obviously mothers, but within that category, I assume there's a certain income level, to be able to afford these services. Can you take us through that a little bit?
First of all, it's a paying services, but because I'm a mom, I try to really minimize the cost to just my services or paying my caregivers. But ideally, what we want to do is to be able to get fundings or get help so that we can also help mothers with low income or that have many children so that every mom is covered or helped.
That's smart. And are you hearing from a lot of mothers in low income situations wanting to know more about the services, or is there more people that you kind of middle and high income that you're hearing from?
Across the board.
Hmm.
Yeah, I get everyone across the board because when a mother has a baby, it doesn't matter if she's from low income or high income, it's still stressful to care for a baby. Yeah, if they can afford the help is even better. But I try to educate mothers as well. It's like, allow yourself to be helped. Allow yourself, if you can afford once a week someone who comes help you, it's great for your mental health. Because what happens is most moms go through postpartum depression. I went through it myself. And the statistics in Canada, one in seven women goes through postpartum depression. So if I can even help a few moms to avoid that route, then I'll be very grateful.
And Winnie, what were you doing before this? So the business is less than a year old. Were you always an entrepreneur, or were you working for someone else? Take us through a bit of your career, please.
Yeah, I was a public servant working for the government. Then I took around 2 years, 2.5 years off to care for my twins. And then I started the entrepreneurship route. Yeah.
That's a big shift from.
Yeah, it's a big shift, but also because I guess mothers, I don't know if Lisa is a mom or anybody in your surrounding, also your wife, once you have children, there's a shift in your priorities. You want to have meaningful work. You want to leave a better legacy for your children. So that kind of mentality shifted after I had my twins.
Yeah, I know my wife and I, we went through that exact same thing.
Yeah.
We were on a career trajectory. We had our first job. We looked at each other and said, okay, everything's changed. Literally overnight, all these great plans we had completely changed over for the
Completely
better,
changed.
for the
Yeah,
better, of course. Yeah.
of course. Yeah.
What were some of the challenges, Winnie, you faced from, going from, working full time for someone else and now being on your own?
Of course, the some common challenges, it's of course, you no longer have kind of the paycheck that you were getting every 2 weeks. So you kind of have to, rely on either your saving or you actually put in your own money into the business first, But I always say that I'm very sure I really believe in this vision, and I know that it's one, solving a solution, I mean solving a problem. Number two, I'm serving people, I'm serving mothers. Those two are the recipe for success. Yeah.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Winnie, what advice would you give to someone that's listening that's owns a business? I know you're a new entrepreneur, but I'm sure you've had some struggles early on. Someone that's listening that owns a business that is struggling a little bit, is there anything you'd like to share with that individual?
Limit the people that you listen to, because there comes a point where you know your own vision. The vision was given to you and to you only. So it's very important that you listen to those who are for you, those who can actually help you, and limit those who are not understanding properly. And I can imagine when Uber started or Airbnb started, we were like, what the heck is this? But they were seeing something that none of us were seeing. And today we can't live without any of those. So it's important to really be laser focused on your vision.
You know, Winnie, this is a topic that's coming up more and more in the podcast, and I think there's a fine line. I want your opinion on this, but I think there's a fine line between listening to people that tell you what you want to hear. You know, they're only always going to say pod. They're not going to find any fault in any of your offerings or services or with your business, versus, people that are the opposite, that are just completely negative. I personally think listening to people that have a bit of a healthy dose of critic in them, just a bit, not overly critical, because there's cheerleaders, there's cynics, and there's kind of something in between. Do you agree? And if so, can you give me your thoughts on it?
I mean, constructive criticism is amazing for a new entrepreneur or for a new business, or if the vision is there by you taking this route, but if you take this route, it will be better. Those kind of feedback are very much welcomed, but especially people who are employees who believe in working for someone, especially people like our parents or our family who really wants the safety of us, are the ones who usually put fears in us. What I do is, if I want really constructive criticism, I go to my mentors. I go to someone who's been there, done that, and I ask them for real, and I take into consideration.
Is it difficult, Winnie, to find mentors? Because again, this is a common theme on the podcast. I'm a big believer that there's lots of business people out there that are just willing to help anyone, and that shows a genuine interest in what it is that they're doing. And I find too many entrepreneurs, it's in our DNA a little bit that we don't want to admit that we need help at times. So how did you have any of that, or you right away had mentors and you started establishing those relationships?
No, usually the mentors that I have are mentors that I've already had in my own personal journey, but I'm having a lot of trouble finding business mentors. I don't know if it's the fact that we don't go to them or we don't know where they are, something like that. But there's a gap somewhere where we don't cross each other.
I find that, that's a really good point. Unless you come across them in your day-to-day work, there's not like, there's a mentor directory or anything like that out there, that,
Or
yeah, yeah, that's true.
do I knock?
Winnie, what advice would you give to someone that's, that was in your shoes, a year ago, that they're working for somebody, they're thinking of starting their own business? What advice would you give that person?
Yeah. First of all, if it's a problem and you're solving, most likely there's five other people that are going through the same thing that would, take advantage of your solution. So invest into it. There's tools now, whether it's ChatGPT or Google or anything, to see, is this feasible? Can this work? What are the competition that there is? How can I be different? So I think it's important to believe in your idea and use the tools that we have to see the feasibility.
Yeah, and I think I'm personally of the opinion, Winnie, that some people are not meant to be entrepreneurs. And
True.
again,
That's very true.
not to be negative, but I think some people underestimate what's involved in starting a business and running a business after you've started it. They think they only see the glory, or they think it's all this wonderful thing, but there's tough times. And again, that's another consistent theme on the podcast lately, is our people I'm interviewing are saying that to me. Do you agree with that?
I agree. I agree with that. And if I had to go back, maybe I would still be an employee, or maybe part-time employee, but still consider my business. Don't go in just heads on with no backup. One of my mentors like to say, you are an employee, but don't die as an employee. That's the way, because in all of us there's something, whether you do it full time or part time or a quarter time, but still look beyond what you can do to help others and to dig deep within you.
Was there anyone that you followed, read or watched videos or followed them socially that inspired you on this entrepreneurial journey?
Yes, I'm inspired, not by one person particularly, but I'm inspired by mothers. Real talk. I'm inspired by their strength. I'm inspired by their creativity of finding ways of dealing with family life. I'm inspired by mothers that go back to work immediately. I'm inspired by mothers, who manage the household and the other children and the work and everything, but still do everything in an excellent way. So I'm really inspired by everyday mothers.
It's interesting. In my previous career, Winnie, I worked for sports teams, and I had a policy where I would hire, it was primarily mothers, not to stereotype, but it just was, that had been at home for long periods of time, and they'd come to me and say, "Well, I don't have any skills." I said, "You have all the skills in the world. You're organized. You know how to handle stress. I can teach you how to use this piece of software. Like, you've got the skills." And I would have them, because their kids were still pretty little, but I would start them off working 10 to 2, 4 to 5 days a week, so they could drop off the kids in the morning, see them, when they came home after school. And the point is, they got more work done in that 4 hours than most of my employees did in 8, because they valued what was being offered. They were incredibly organized and disciplined, and many of them went on to, when the kids got older, they became full-time employees. But we had tremendous success with that program, and I'm still in touch with a lot of these people to this day, and they still bring it up, how they found this perfect balance of, being able to do both, because it's hard.
It's hard. And thank you on behalf of them, really, for considering that, and I feel like crying because you understood, you just a little bit of adjustment made a huge difference. And you still got your work that you wanted to be done in an excellent way, but she still was able to, be the caregiver for her family. So thank you very much on their behalf.
Well, thank you for saying that. Winnie, we're almost out of time. Where can our listeners find out more about you and your services?
Absolutely. So our website is www.postnatalkindness.com. You can find us on LinkedIn, Postnatal Kindness, on Instagram, Postnatal Kindness, and on Facebook as well.
Thanks again for your time, Winnie, today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat, for having me.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.